Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Although the crisis of COVID-19 is front and centre for Tamaki Makaurau, we are also in the midst of another crisis in the form of a water shortage. So this week on City Counselling, our news director Lillian Hanley spoke to Auckland Councillor Richard Hills about what this means, as well as the resumption of recycling of Tamaki Makaurau.
Well, yesterday we made a decision that will mean we have stage one water restrictions from Saturday the 16th of May. Basically, for residential, all that means is that it'll be basically banned for you to use your hose or water blaster outside. We're still asking everyone to reduce shower usage and wasting water, you know, making sure your washing machine is full before you turn it on, 4-minute showers, things like that. But the official restriction is only on outdoor hoses and water blasters. And for businesses, there'll be no use of water blasters, outdoor hoses, unless it's for health and safety. Also, car wash operations have to be switched off unless they've got recycled water. And also for everyone, including council, there'll be no watering of sports fields, plants, paddocks, irrigation systems that use fresh water every time can't be used. So basically it's because we have dipped down to about 46% of our dam's storage, and that's due to the record-breaking drought at the moment. Earlier in the year January and February, we only had 10% of our normal rainfall.
I just wanted to ask, these restrictions could have been in place a lot sooner.
So we can only put restrictions in place if we dip below 50%. And we dipped below 50% just before the lockdown, and we decided and Watercare thought it was a pretty difficult message to try and convey when the level 4 lockdown rules were being put in place and there was a lot of stress and uncertainty at the same time. So a lot of people are telling me, oh, I haven't heard anything about the water shortage, but we've actually had it advertised on TV, radio, bus stop signs, billboards, letters in everyone's water bills, and that was from January, February, March and April. So you can see, even with all those messages out there, people didn't know it was on. So if we'd tried to put legal restrictions in place during the height of the COVID situation, it wouldn't have made a difference, but B, might have made people a lot more stressed than they already were. So the restrictions only really work if people buy into them. So that's why we're doing it.
Right. So the main change now being that people can be prosecuted.
Yeah. And Watercare is not going to want to do that. And we're not asking people to dob on their neighbours. Look, if you see something, someone flouting the rules, you know, water blasting all day, washing their car, and really, you know, first of all, we're saying, could you please give your neighbour a friendly kind of reminder? They might not know. And if it's a real flout, we want people to be going on the Watercare website and reporting the incident. We don't want people putting up photos of people on Facebook community pages and you know, that sort of vigilante stuff, because people are already at heightened fear and kind of sick of rules at the moment. But Watercare are not going to want to go in and find people straight away. They will follow up with people and talk about, don't use it. If you're caught again and again, then yes, you can be fined up to $20,000. I assume that would be largely for quite a significant breach. But,
right,
you know, in the first instance, we're wanting to be pretty fair on people and talk them through it.
Mm. Okay. I guess my key question on this is that, you know, this is going to be an issue ongoing, I suppose. With climate change, this is going to likely increase these kind of concerns, and I suppose droughts could become far more regular and at least more consistent, I suppose. Like, we could just be dealing with the same issue again next year. Is there anything being done in the council to shift the way that we engage with water in terms of, I suppose, just an attitude of not wasting it?
Yeah, so we've got a water strategy that was put out last year. We haven't finalised that yet for long-term changes. I guess the big infrastructure stuff, We are taking our maximum 150 million litres a day from the Waikato River. We have applied for another 200, but that has been sitting in the long list of consents with the Waikato Regional Council for about 7 years. We've asked the government to intervene there. So we're not, and we also can take an emergency take, but only once we've done these water restrictions to ensure we've actually, because right now we're actually using far more water than we usually do, as well as having far less than we usually have. So there's a two-pronged situation, and I think it is because it is so dry. People are probably watering the gardens more and, I guess, filling pools more and things like that. So there's infrastructure things. We don't really have the ability to build more dams. We are bringing other water courses and bores on stream as well. But this is also potentially a 1 in 1,000 year drought, 1 in 100 years. So even with climate change and extreme weather, this is we had an unusually high drought in the winter. So we had low rainfall, and then this year we've had less than a third of what we usually do. And we just don't know how long this drought could last. Long term, we want to be more resilient. We want to encourage people to use less water. We are discussing things, a lot of the changes that would be needed to make around government rules, so around the RMA, not so much council. So we can encourage better water use and maybe, you know, regulations around what you can use. We know that when you're building or subdividing now, you can... on some properties you have to put tanks in, and we want to make that easier for people to do, but even that is not going to make a huge difference during a drought. So it is a difficult situation. We're not going to run out, so I don't want people to freak out, but we have to show we are saving water before we can take that emergency take from the Waikato River.
Okay, let's move on to recycling, which is going to be resuming. Now, this is, I suppose, not the recycling pickup process that has continued throughout the lockdown period, but this means that the actual recycling of that waste is going to happen now. So what does it mean, though, when there's such a backlog?
Yeah, so unfortunately, due to COVID, some of the international markets that recycle our fibre, which is paper, cardboard and other similar type packaging, stopped, so they weren't allowing it to be imported. So we had to make a decision whether we stockpiled it or landfilled it. Stockpiling, because we didn't know how long it was going to take, is it's got a high fire risk, and the longer you stockpile, the less you can actually do recycling it anyway. So we were having to landfill for the last 4 or 5 weeks, all that paper and cardboard. We were telling people to still put it in their recycling bins, and we would sort it out at the other end. Thankfully, this month we have secured a partner overseas who will be recycling and using that paper and cardboard. So we started that last week. So that is being recycled again. So if anyone was keeping their paper aside, they can put it back in the recycling, although we were asking people to continue. The unfortunate thing is that some of our, a very small percentage, but a 4% of our total recycling, which is plastics 3 to 7, doesn't really matter if people are wondering which that is, those aren't going to be recycled now because of the COVID situation has closed some other markets down. So we will still take everything. We are going to put some aside, but we will largely be landfilling that plastic. None of this is good. We've been working with the government to, because I believe personally that we should be doing this all on shore, not sending, you know, increasing our carbon emissions by sending our waste to someone else's country for them to deal with. But it is very complicated. It's especially the fibre, so the paper and cardboard is our biggest portion of our recycling. It's about 55,000 tonnes a year, and we don't have a partner in New Zealand first and foremost. So people keep saying, why don't we recycle it in New Zealand? It's like, well, we could recycle it and then it just sits there. So we need like a packaging company or a company that wants to take our recycling for a good portion of time, 10 to 15 years, and the plant or the infrastructure needs to be sort of built in partnership with government, because we just couldn't do something on that scale. But we'd probably need something for the whole of the North Island to make it viable. So long term, that we're doing that, but short term, unfortunately, we had to landfill. But we're back on now. It's a bit complicated, but yeah.
It is, and I suppose it's actually a little bit devastating when you hear that amount of. What could, I suppose, be recycled is going to waste. I had a bit of a listener question. They were curious as to what happens or whether the council can clamp down on the circulation of circulars, I suppose, you know, the magazines that you get in your mail. I think, I'm not sure if that stopped over levels 4. I assume it has, but it started up again. Is this, you know, this is like a considerable amount of waste that gets generated because a lot of people do just chuck that into the bin. But also it's a possible carrier, I suppose, of COVID-19 if there, you know, isn't care being taken when circulating this. Is this something that council could get involved in?
Yeah, so it's a solid waste bylaw issue, so it would take quite a long process to do. We can actually fine people if they're putting in circulars into letterboxes that have no circulars or don't, no junk mail. So I encourage everyone to get no junk mail and no circular stickers for their letterbox, which is actually becoming a really high proportion of households, which is good. We can't at this moment, unless we change that bylaw, prevent people from putting circulars in letterboxes. But there has been a massive reduction over time because of online advertising and because of people putting junk mail stickers on. So it's not a huge portion of our recycling, but it is a problematic amount. During level 4, they weren't allowed and neither were suburban newspapers and things like that. But yeah, I'd encourage people, if they are concerned about it, to stick those no junk mail or no circular signs on their letterboxes and encourage their family, friends and neighbours to do the same, because that's something we can instantly do to help reduce that over time. But it is something that needs to be looked at because it is just such a waste of paper. And it's all about the individual roles or business. You know, council over time is trying to do as much online as possible now and really reduce the overall, you know, a business or a organisation can reduce the amount of paper quite considerably if they just change the ways of working. And I'm sure during lockdown and working from home, people have realised how much they can change pretty much overnight if they need to. So I hope all businesses are really thinking through, do we need to be printing off emails or agendas or long, you know, things for meetings that maybe can all be done because we've just been doing it the last 6 weeks at home.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.